I'm Niamh Cassidy, a former social care worker who, after having my own children, found a calling as a childbirth educator and lactation consultant. Back when I started this journey, I faced the same challenges many of you might be experiencing right now, struggling to get enough clients to make my business viable long term. I knew in my heart that I had the skills and knowledge to make a difference, but the thought of marketing and selling left me feeling a bit uneasy. I didn't want to compromise my authenticity and values just to attract clients. I invested in trainings and mentorships, and I tried various strategies that I learned, but it often felt like I couldn't implement a lot of it because what I was being taught didn't match my values as a birth and postpartum worker. That's when I decided to take matters into my own hand. I embarked on a mission to learn, to experiment, and to find ethical and authentic ways to share my expertise, support my clients, and build a sustainable practice. Today, I'm proud to say that I run a thriving private practice, and I'm here to share my insights with all of you to help you to do the same. Join me on this journey as I help you bridge the gap between your passion for supporting new parents and the success you deserve. Together, we'll discover the power of ethical, authentic, and effective approaches, not only to make a living, but also to make a positive impact in the world of birth and postnatal care. Let's get started on this empowering journey together. So welcome back, everyone, to this episode of the Pregnancy and Postnatal Entrepreneurs Collective podcast. Today, I have with me Mary Tai, who is a birth and postpartum doula, an antenatal educator, and a breastfeeding counselor, among many other things. Mary is the co-owner of Doula Care Ireland, which is a doula company that matches doulas with clients to make sure that they have the best fit. So welcome, Mary, and thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Niamh. Great to be here.
I hope you're having a lovely morning. So Mary, could you just tell us a little bit more about what it is that Doula Care Ireland does?
Yeah, so we are, like you said, we're kind of like a matchmaking organization. We work with doulas who are independent contractors, their birth or postpartum, in general. We sometimes get fertility, we're looking for fertility doulas as well, but generally birth or postpartum. And then clients will contact us saying, I am due in August and I'd love a birth doula. And we then will explore that a little bit further, and then we will match them with somebody from the doulas, the contractors that we work with. We will approach the contractor, see would they be available, would they like to work with this client. Then there's a meeting usually where both parties get to see do they work well together, and if that's the case, then they go ahead and are matched, and then the doula and the client are there working with each other, supporting each other.
It's such a wonderful service to be able to provide. And I know Doula Care Ireland was the first service of its kind doing this matching in Ireland.
Yeah. I suppose we got the idea. It's very common in America, okay, as a model. And myself and Jen, we're both very busy in our own right individually as doulas. So I run Doula Care with Jen Crawford, who's also a birth and postpartum doula. So she was really busy in Dublin. I'm based in Cork. So I was really, really busy in Cork. And a mutual friend said to both of us, why don't you think about setting up this kind of structure? Because we were so busy, we were trying to work away ourselves. But we were also getting a lot of newer doulas asking for mentoring and support as well. And that's what we also offer through Doula Care, that extra bit of mentoring and that extra bit of support. And so we thought, yeah, let's try it. So we contacted an amazing doula in the States that offers this support, kind of doulaed us through how to set one up. And we set up in 2017. I hope that's right. I always get the date wrong. It's a bit like my wedding anniversary. I never know the year. And it's the same with this. Jen's always going, no, Mary, but I'm nearly sure it's 2017. So yeah. She won't be given out to me.
So essentially you and Jen were matched together by this mutual friend.
Yes, we met at the Positive Birth Conference. Do you remember that in Dunleary? Mm-hmm. We had never met in person before. I didn't know Jen even from online. So we were kind of like that, you know, blind date where like she was sitting in the lobby and she was like, I'll be wearing a red coat.
Fabulous. And you obviously got along because you made a decision to go ahead with setting up this company. So what were those steps? What was it like to go from being that solo, you know, independent, self-employed person to partnership or a company structure, you know, like what was the steps you needed to take in that together?
Yeah, well, the first thing was obviously we met and we chatted and we wanted to see, did our philosophies align? Did we connect, you know, individually as people? Because I don't think we could have done it otherwise. And we got on brilliantly. We really clicked. And we couldn't stop talking, actually. And that was really great. And then I suppose the next step then, yeah, like it was a big change. And I suppose it was a little bit terrifying. I think the biggest thing was like, will anybody want to use the service? Okay, that was the biggest thing. Both contractors and clients, like both ends. But we got, as I said, a lot of support so we got mentoring ourselves. I don't think we could have done this without that mentoring support. And I think mentoring is so important, I think, when you have a business, I think. And it's something I think that a lot of people neglect, I think, actually. And I think it's crucial. So we had somebody who had been there, done that, was several steps ahead of us, and was able then to give us the steps that we needed to take, like the structure. At the time, we set up as a partnership rather than a company. Mm-hmm. And so she just talked us through all the different ways, you know, so the paperwork that we would need, the kind of structures, how did we book a client, you know, what did we need social media wise, website wise, all of those things. She talked us through, which was really helpful, because we wouldn't have really known where to start, I think, ourselves. It was just so big. I had been thinking about starting this model for about 2 or 3 years before on my own, and it was just so big. I didn't know where to start with it. So I'm a big fan of the whole mentoring and support, I think, because I think I get regular mentoring myself. I think it's really important, but I don't think we could have done what we did without that mentoring. She was amazing. Absolutely. Jessica was her name. Yeah.
Lovely. And, you know, in that big step of going to work with somebody else and also setting up this new structure, I assume there was kind of a lot of more complication to it than simply being a sole trader and being self-employed. So more like contracts and legal end and policies, that type of thing.
Yeah, we're still like, I think it's the kind of thing that's never finished either. Like we still have things that we think we need to do, or we need to improve, or we need to change. It's one of the things I love about running a business, and one of the things I don't love about running a business, because on the one hand, it makes it really interesting and you can never rest on your laurels. And I do like that. It suits my personality. I never get bored. But on the other hand, it's so frustrating sometimes going, I did that already. Now I have to do it again. So yeah, like we needed to have structures around our roles, for example, who was going to do what. We needed to have structures for booking in clients, because we had a larger volume of clients now. So how are we keeping track of, you know, which email has been answered, and, you know, have they been matched with a doula, you know? So there was all of that. We needed to figure out all those. And at the it's changed a lot over the years. At the very start, we were paper-based, and it was very old school. And then as we grew in volume, but also because Jen's in Dublin and I'm in Cork, and then we eventually hired, we have two staff now that we work with, Gillian and Siobhan, who are our guardian angels. They're amazing. We needed something that was online, so we had to find systems online that would work with us as well, that we could do all of that remotely. And we're very proud of saying that we were doing remote work well before COVID kicked in. I think that's when a lot of people started. But because, as I said, we started in 2017, myself and Jen were using Zoom back then, I think, maybe 2018. I can't remember, but very early anyway. That's how we did most of our meetings. It wouldn't have been practical for me to come up to Dublin or her to come to Cork all of the time. So we had to figure out, you know, we had to figure out a lot of structural, how do we structure things? And like that, as you said, policies, we needed, you know, policies on, I'm just trying to think now, some of the policies we have, because my mind is now blank. But recruitment,
like your privacy,
all of that kind of
policies
stuff.
And data, yes, protection and
exactly
all of that.
And that's crucial for us, GDPR, because we're working with potentially sensitive medical data. So it's really important that we have those structures in place, which we would have had some, even things like Garda vetting. So there were no doulas in Ireland Garda vetted up to that point. But I felt, well, as an organisation, we had to have this. So we had to go through that process, which was quite long and slow at the start, because they did not know what a doula was and couldn't understand the role exactly. So that was fun. And it was very exciting, but also very scary sometimes and frustrating. And then we were very, very lucky to have Irish Life Health reach out and ask to work with us. So we provide postpartum doula services to Irish Life Health policyholders. But that was a whole other level then, because they are a massive company. And so they needed policies that we hadn't even thought of. Like a policy around what happens if our internet goes down, that kind of thing, you know, or, you know, I can't, there's a name for one of the policies we had to do. I can't remember what it's called, but it's like, what happens if everything just stops working? And
like a disaster recovery plan,
I think they call it the word I'm looking for. Yeah. And I was like, what? We hadn't even thought about this, you know? So like that was all massive change, and that was one of the reasons we became a company as well, because we had to work with them.
So tell us a little bit about that first year and how you navigated these new roles of working together, and also in bringing in your doulas as contractors, and the challenges and the high points.
Yeah, well, I suppose the high points were that people wanted to use the service. That was the big fear. So lots of doulas were interested in getting involved. And that was amazing, because we were like, you know, are people going to want this? So that was exciting. What was exciting as well, that clients were interested in booking our services. That was all terrifying, I think, you know, that we wouldn't have that. It was so exciting when Irish Life Health wants to partner with us. I still remember it being in my sitting room, jumping up and down with the, you know, excitement of it. You know, thinking, oh my goodness, this is amazing. And it was huge. Like I really felt that what we were doing was important. The way we, like, this was a huge step forward for doulas in Ireland, because we were very much developing this professional organization, and I think that was a really positive. The challenges were trying to navigate work and life and family. And I don't think either myself, and I can't talk for Jen, obviously she's not here, but I don't think either of us really got the balance well those first few years. And as a result, we did both burn out spectacularly. Thankfully, at separate periods. That was really good of us, I think, to do it separately. But I think we both just got overwhelmed, because it was really hard. Like, because we didn't have Gillian or Siobhan at that point, we were doing everything. So we were doing all the booking, the call. We were calling clients at that point, every single client that, you know, booked, we'd call them. Mm-hmm. We were like, it was just never ending. We were, you know, taking the money, paying the doulas, doing everything. And it was just overwhelming. And I was homeschooling at the time as well. So trying to balance that was huge. Now, thankfully, I was pre-perimenopausal, and that's how I could do it, I think. When perimenopause hit, I kind of just couldn't function anymore. So that was hugely challenging, I think, for both of us. And then we also decided to run a conference in the middle of that, which was a massive amount of work. That really didn't help. And then Jen obviously had Kayla, and Kayla, you know, was born with a cleft palate. So that was obviously, for Jen, that was really tough. And she probably, in hindsight, went back to work very quickly as well. You know, self-employed. She did take, there was a few months that she did kind of work less, when I was kind of doing all the bookings and the client calls and all of that. But it's really hard not to do anything when you run a business, I think, you know. We have improved that.
So talk to me then about taking on your employees. So firstly, like, how far into the business were you when you made that decision? And do you think, in hindsight, you would have done it earlier?
Oh, I would have loved to do it earlier, definitely. No doubt about it. I don't think we had the finances to do it earlier. That would have been the problem. You know, we had somebody doing kind of admin ad hoc for us. It was somebody I knew, a friend who was also working as a doula, but is an accounts person. And that's the bit I think that was, you know, that was so much work doing up the invoices, sending out the invoices to the clients, following up the money, etc. So we had that kind of ad hoc, and it worked really well. And then she wasn't able to do it anymore, and we were like, oh, we definitely need somebody. So now I should know, but I think it was late 2019 that we got Gillian. So it was the best decision we have ever made for our business, I think. Gillian, we were very lucky. It was terrifying news, because obviously this is like our baby. And then it's like sending your baby to school, and I had homeschool, so I didn't even have that experience. So I was like, oh goodness, and trying to make a decision. And like, we were very lucky, we got loads of fantastic applicants, and that was something I had never done, that process before, in any of my previous roles in my work. And so this was completely new. Now, I was very lucky in that I was doing a business course with the Rubicon Centre in Cork through a local CCAD, which is our local development organisation here in East Cork. It was fantastic, and they were so helpful, like really, really great at you know, kind of helping us figure out what we needed, who we were looking for. And obviously we had to go through that whole getting up a job spec. What did we need the job to look like? What was the role going to be? Put that out, get people to send in CVs, read through them, and then schedule interview questions. All of that was completely new to myself and Jen. As I said, we had a huge amount of interest. We interviewed a number of people, and it was really difficult. It came down to two people, and we found it really hard to make a decision, actually. We took us a few days. We kept going back and forth. And I got onto the guys where I was doing the business course with and asked them for advice. And then we approached Gillian, and she was happy to come on board. And she's been incredible. We really feel like we won the lotto with both Gillian and Siobhan. And then Siobhan's role came about because Jen did hit burnout and needed to just take a break altogether, you know, and a proper one. And I couldn't manage everything. So we decided then we would take on a doula coordinator. And Siobhan had worked as a doula. She had been a birth and postpartum doula. She had been an independent contractor with ourselves. And she was about to take a step back. And she was incredible, Neve. She was really organized. She was really on the ball. I loved working with her. And so we approached her and said, look, is there any chance you'd be interested in this? You know, because the doula work doesn't suit anymore with the hours. And she said yes. And she has been incredible as well. So because I know from friends who have businesses and just working myself over the years, it's hit and miss sometimes when you take on people. So it can be totally scary. And actually, I was on a call recently with other, so there's, you know, obviously there's other doulas around the world that run organizations like Doula Care. And we have started meeting on Zoom calls to kind of brainstorm and problem solve. And that was one of the questions one of the people have. They want to branch out now and take somebody on. And they were so scared because in case they get the wrong person. And I just feel very, very lucky to have the Gillian and Siobhan with us. They're incredible.
That's brilliant. And that was going to be my next question, and I'll ask it. What advice would you give to somebody that is thinking on taking on either their first, you know, virtual assistant or someone as an employee? Have you got any tips that you'd give?
I think take your time. Make sure your job spec is really clear. So be really clear on what you need them to do. And I think it's about identifying the parts in the business that you don't need to do, because I really do see that now as a business owner. I do not need to be booking in clients and, you know, following up with invoices. And, you know, somebody else can do that. And actually, in our case, like, Gillian is such a great administrator. She's so good at it. And it suits, like, she works well around that role. So finding somebody, I think with previous experience as well, we were very lucky that Gillian had that. I think that's really important. And they can guide you sometimes. Like, Gillian and Siobhan often come to us with ideas that work better than anything myself and Jen could come up with, because that's where their skills are. You're never going to be skilled at everything. So what are the parts of your business that you don't feel you have the skills for or the interest in? And then write that down and be really, really clear on it. So we had all of that written down, and like, we had a very comprehensive job spec. So somebody then reading it would be really clear, this is what they want. I think then it's about gut feeling as well. Do you connect with that person? I think part of what we do in doula care is connect people, so doulas to clients. But connection as doulas is so important for us. And I think if you're working in this field, this area around birth, pregnancy, postpartum, often we're all very like that, aren't we? And so trust that connection that you have, trust that gut feeling that you have around that person. And it may come down to that gut feeling. I think that's what it did in the end for us, because we had two really strong candidates that we ended up, I think at the time, we ended up doing a second interview with, because we just felt we needed to iron out a few things. And that's okay as well. That's another bit of advice, that if you're not sure, do another interview, do another check, and do some sort of discussion with the person before you do that, because you are handing over your baby to somebody, and you also need to be able to work well with them. And it won't be fun, because like part of the reason I love running a business is I want it to be fun. Because it's something I'm choosing to do. It's something I left a job to do. I chose to do this work. So it has to have an element of fun to it, I think, and joy. And that means when I meet with the people that I work with, that I want to enjoy that.
Absolutely. I think they're wonderful tips. And I love your analogy around the employee kind of being like childcare. You know, someone's taken on your baby to help you with it. And for that, you need to be able to trust that person and to get along with them. As you said, I think that's a really nice way to think about it. So tell me, like, where is doula care now? You know, what is the state of the land? How many doulas are working with you, and what's next?
So in 2020, just before COVID hit, we had decided to develop doula training, so that we segued into becoming trainers. We had long wanted to do it, and it was on the cards. From the moment we started, we were like, right, we'll start this, and then we will develop a training program and train doulas. So we run doula training programs now. So you can become a birth doula with ourselves or a postpartum doula. And I love that element of it. And that's now what we do mostly, myself and Jen, is the doula training. And we love it. Get to mentor, support, and doula new doulas, which is really, really lovely. I meet so many lovely people, really hearing all their stories and why they've chosen to train as doulas. There's so many variants. Every course is different. So that we started that at the beginning of 2020. We had our first training, I think, was scheduled for May or June 2020. And of course, we were in the middle of lockdown, so we postponed. So that, you know, because we were going to do in person, we'd found a venue and everything. So we postponed, and I can't remember when we postponed to, but that was lockdown as well. So we thought, do you know what, we're going to have to go virtual. And Niamh, I will be absolutely honest and say, I did not think this was going to work. You know, we were going to try it and see, because we had no other choice, but we were really, really nervous about how we would make it work. And thankfully, we were blown away by how well it worked. Mm-hmm. I had only ever done doula trainings. Like I had been doing doula trainings, and with, you know, kind of supporting another doula, and it was always in person. So I was like, how is this going to work? But it worked really, really well. We made sure to keep the days short. Yeah, so we do 10 to 3. So the majority of doula trainings that you can do are three days. Of training in person. So we said, that's going to be so long on Zoom, we'll get fatigued. So we worked from 10 until 3 over 5 days. So it is a bit longer, yes, because it's spread out, but I don't think it would work on Zoom if you were doing a 10 or a 9 to a 6. It just is so long and everybody get wrecked and exhausted. So that's one thing we do. We also really utilize breakout rooms, chat groups, and we really encourage everybody to get to know each other. So there's a real sense of camaraderie and connection and community, because as doulas, community is so important. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to facilitate that. And we always get great feedback of how people are like, I can't believe how interactive it was. And we were really happy with that. And everybody was just thrilled, because a lot of people at this point were used to Zooms from COVID. And I've been to Zoom trainings, and it's just listening to somebody talking the whole time. And we were never going to do that, because we were working with adult learners, and the people that come along to a doula training have so much knowledge and experience themselves. So our job is to build that confidence in themselves that they already know what to do. A lot of the times we're adding to the knowledge with the information they need, but they have the empathy and the kindness that they need to be doulas. So we're trying to, you know, tease that out of them and build that confidence. So we're never going to be just sitting with slides, and we are also aware that people learn in different ways. So we have videos, we have slides, we have chats, we have group breakout rooms. So all of those ways then suits different people for different learning. So it worked really, really well. And so much so that we have kept them on Zoom. We haven't gone back to in-person because it suits people that come along to our trainings. They choose it maybe because they're living not, you know, in Dublin, because most of the trainings are Dublin. And as somebody who's originally from Dublin, Niamh, I feel I can say this. It's really annoying sometimes for all of us that live outside of Dublin that we have to constantly trek up. And I do find, you know, sometimes people are in Dublin, sure, it's only a 2-hour journey only, you know. Whereas, so, you know, it really suits us, I think, not, well, it suits me in particular, that I don't have to be driving up to Dublin where I don't live and do a training. Yeah, so that's perfect. We've had people as well who've, you know, we had one or two people who had COVID during the training, but they were able to sit in and do the training, or have colds or aren't well, or they've small kids. And so it makes it really manageable to do a Zoom training, whereas in person would be more of a challenge. So that's kind of where we segued to. As to what's ahead, well, we have plans, but I suppose we're in the middle of kind of, we're hoping to meet in the next few months and kind of start a new plan, because we've kind of managed to fulfill all of the goals that we had for when we originally started doula care. And now we want to kind of move on to what's the next steps.
And I've met many of the doulas that have come through your training, and you can tell their passion, and you can tell how much they've gained from the training that they've given by the way that they present themselves to other people. And what you've also managed to do is to get training to people in more remote locations around Ireland. So in the non-urban centres where there might not have been doulas before, I'm seeing that there's more doulas in places where there was never a doula before. So I think that's an absolutely wonderful thing that your training has been able to do.
Thank you, Niamh. Yeah, look, I'm thrilled with it. As I said, for somebody who isn't from, you know, who's from Dublin, like, so I love it. I love going up. But I don't always want to go up to Dublin for trainings. Like, and I do find when you do trainings outside of Dublin, it is harder to get people to them, isn't it? So it is a great place for trainings, but it does mean that it's not always accessible for people. So yeah, I do really love that. We are hoping and planning to maybe once a year do an in-person day where people can come along and do some in-person training with us. That's one of our plans. I do know people do love that connection as well. It is lovely to meet people in person, no doubt about it. But it works really well, and looking forward to our birth doula training now is coming up in April. And we just finished our postpartum, and then we've another in. So we run two postpartum trainings and two birth trainings a year.
That's amazing. And just before we finish up, I have two more questions I want to ask you. I'll ask them one at a time. For people who want to kind of scale their business or move on from simply working alone to maybe either taking on employees or building a company, is there any one tip or piece of advice that you'd give to someone looking to kind of move up past purely being on their own in their work?
Well, I think if you're going into partnership with somebody, going in with another person, definitely having structures in place as to who's going to do what and be really clear on that. I think that's really, really important. I think, again, with taking somebody else on, an employee, I think it can really, really help. I think sometimes before you do anything like that, it would be to get some mentoring support to figure out, is this the right thing for me and my business and my circumstance? Because I read a great book there a few years ago, and I'm hoping I'm going to be able to remember the name. Oh, yeah, The E-Myth Revisited. And I don't know whether you've read it, but he talks about how often people go into business to do what they love. Mm-hmm. But actually what they end up often doing is all the bits that they don't want to do, because they don't create the right structures. And so they end up then not getting to do what they love at all, because they're trying to run the business. So really, the idea is to create structures so that you don't have to be in your business at all. You can be doing the bits that you love and the developing and the background things that are going to build your business, rather than working in your business. It's a really great book, actually. And I think that advice is really useful. So I think it's really useful to go and get mentoring support around, is this actually right for me? if I'm going to scale up, because it may not be the right for everybody, because the bigger it gets, the more, sometimes the more removed you get from the actual work that you want to do. So I think that's really useful. I think I found over the years mentoring really, really helpful for us.
I think that's a really good tip about where kind of getting that support and about, you know, getting people in to do the bits that you don't actually enjoy, or maybe that you're not that good at. So then for doulas starting out, maybe they're in the middle of their training or they've just finished up and they're getting started, you know, with putting themselves out there, is there one piece of advice that you'd give them?
Do it, because I find with a lot of them, they talk themselves out of it. A lot of people, it's like, I don't have, you know, because in general, most people who train to become doulas are women. And I think women are often, well, we know that the evidence shows that they'll often be very qualified for a job, but because there's one or two things they can't do, they won't apply. And I think I see that in you know, people who train as doulas, and we do talk about it quite a lot in the training, the mindset. It's not about having to know everything. It's about having to know where to get the information from. But I think a lot of doulas, that holds them back. Mm-hmm. That not know, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. And as I say to doulas, this is not about knowing. The one of the biggest reasons somebody hires a doula is the connection. Is the connection that, you know, that person that you have, that you trust, that you feel will help you along the way. And it isn't actually about the informational support. It's about that lovely connection, that empathy, that kindness, as I've said, is hugely important. And I feel that if you're coming along to a doula training and you've expressed an interest in this, in general, then you have that empathy and kindness that's needed. So you are what is needed. But I think for a lot of people, they talk themselves out of that. And again, I say this in the training all the time, is that we are always going to have imposter syndrome. We are always going to feel we never have enough talent, enough skills, enough whatever, enough knowledge. I mean, I read that Oprah Winfrey has imposter syndrome. So if Oprah Winfrey has imposter syndrome, we're always going to have it. So it's about getting out of the way of yourself and putting yourself out there. And not being afraid to sell yourself. Because again, I think a lot of the times as women, we don't like the idea of selling. And it comes up in every training. Oh, I don't really want to put myself out there. But I always say to doulas, well, if you don't put yourself out there, nobody's going to know you exist. And if they don't know you exist, they can't hire you. And they may need your service. It is not like you're going knocking on their door saying, hire me. Yeah, like we still get people booking in with us in doula care who say, God, I wish I'd known about this in my last child, or I didn't realize doulas are a thing, or people coming along to the training going, I knew this is what I wanted to do, but I didn't know what it was. So, and I always say as well, because people go, oh God, you know, there's so many doulas out there. I feel that doula support, obviously I'm passionate about it. Mm-hmm. So doula support is so important. And we are really only at the bottom of the scale as to how doulas can support people and how we can grow, because we're used by only a small percentage of the population. And yet, in general, everybody really could benefit from a doula, birth and postpartum. Like in many cultures around the world, there's a whole ritual around postpartum support. You are not left to go home on your own with a tiny baby and not get support. And yet this is what happens in Ireland all of the time. So we are really only at the start of the growth of doulas. I hope by the time my kids are old enough to need doulas, that it will be the norm that people have doulas and use doulas.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, that advice of just getting yourself out there and, you know, it's not selling, it's serving. You're telling people that you have something to offer and they can choose to take that or not, but if you don't let them know, they might miss out on something that they really could have benefited from or really needed. So I think that it's lovely advice for us to end on, Mary. So thank you so much for your time. It's been absolutely wonderful chatting with you today. And for everyone who is listening, Mary is Doula Care Ireland. You can find them on their website and on Instagram and on Facebook and everywhere else where you find people these days. So thank you very much. And I will be chatting with you all again soon for the next episode of the podcast. And if you're listening to this when it is released and you haven't signed up for the Birth Business Breakthrough, then check out the link in the bio. It is a mindset and strategy strategy event for birth and postpartum workers is completely free, and I'd love to have you with us. So we will talk to you all again soon. If you enjoyed or benefited from today's podcast, please leave a review on your favorite listening platform. And if you need help in standing out as a birth or postpartum worker, download our free guide, 10 Steps to Stand Out and Get More Bookings. The link is in the show notes.